It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today's strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, my friends. We were made for this moment in history. And thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday, producer Joe.
Happy Friday, Kim.
And you're moving. So you have a lot of different moving parts going on right now, Joe. So thank you for, I really do appreciate all your hard work. You really are doing a great job. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And it's not compassionate to take other people's stuff, whether or not it's their rights, their property, freedom, livelihoods, opportunities, or lives via force. Force can be a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, government-induced inflation, World Economic Forum's agenda, the Davos Globalist Elites agenda, the United Nations, Colorado State Legislature, Colorado Governor, the World Health Organization, and ballot initiatives. And I'm referring in particular to the two ballot initiatives on the Denver ballot that would close down other people's businesses. One is to ban all fur sales and anything fur related in Denver. And the other is to close down a lamb processing plant in Denver. And I had a couple of speaking gigs yesterday, and I said, this is really a property rights issue. And you may not wear fur, although I think you probably don't realize it, but there are things that are made from fur that you don't even realize, like hats. And if you're a fly fisherman, the flies, all those things will not be sold in Denver. It'll gut the National Western. And in fact, my understanding is there are other states that are already wanting to court the National Western Stock Show, which really that celebrates our heritage, our Western heritage. And it's a big economic driver for Denver. And Denverites have passed a tax that they would tax themselves to upgrade and different things out at the National Western. And so anyway, that would we might lose that. And so we want to say no to that. And what I said at the luncheon yesterday is you may not eat lamb, you may not wear fur, but bear in mind, if they can put a ballot initiative for people to vote to close down those businesses, they could vote to close down your business as well. So we really need to stand for property rights on that. And so that's why I mentioned that. The Colorado Union of Taxpayers, I picked it up from the printer, the ratings report. We're going to be getting that onto the website this weekend. But it is a all-volunteer group that goes through legislation. Each legislative session, we've also taken some positions on some of the ballot questions. And when you see these folks, say thank you to Steve Dorman, Greg Goliansky, Russ Haas, Bill Hamill, Carl Honegger, Rob Knuth, John Nelson, Joseph O'Loughlin, Wendy Warner, Marty Nielsen, Ramey Johnson, and Mary Jansen. These people are standing for you. They're taking a lot of their time to do that. And so thank you to them. And a way to say thank you would be to join us. It's only $25. And you can join us by going to ColoradoTaxpayer.com. HootersRestaurants.org. The show does come to you because I have amazing sponsors. One of those is Hooters Restaurants, and they have five locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. Great place to get together with friends for lunch because they have great lunch specials. In particular, their nachos are pretty yummy, as well as their fish and chips, and of course, great place to watch all of the games. And again, that is Hooters Restaurants. Our word of the day is stoic, and that is spelled S-T-O-I-C, and it could be, number one, the definition, one who seemingly is indifferent to or unaffected by joy, grief, pleasure, or pain. Number two, a member of an originally Greek school of philosophy founded by Zeno of Citium about 308 BC, believing that God determined everything from the best and that virtue is sufficient for happiness. Its later Roman form advocated the calm acceptance of all occurrences as the unavoidable result of divine will or of the natural order. And I chose the word because I've also thought of stoic as just not showing any emotion, being very, you can almost not read their emotions. So last evening I was presenting, and there was clearly someone that disagreed with my views. And as I was looking out into the audience, I thought, she looks so stoic, S-T-O-I-C, it's just kind of no emotion whatsoever. So that's why I chose the word stoic for the word of the day. And since it is Friday, we honor our Medal of Honor recipients by sharing quotes and their citations from the Medal of Honor quote book. I have it right here from the Center for American Values, and would highly recommend that you order that. You can order it by going to AmericanValueCenter.org and have that at home for you on your shelf of your Freedom Library. But our quote is from Ronald E. Ray, United States Army Medal of Honor, born in 1941. Action was 6/19, June 19th, 1966. And this is the citation. It says, "For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity, in action at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, Captain Ray distinguished himself while serving as a platoon leader with Company A. When one of his ambush patrols was attacked by an estimated reinforced Viet Cong company, Captain Ray organized a reaction force and quickly moved through 2 kilometers of mountainous jungle terrain to the contact area. After breaking through the hostile lines to reach the beleaguered patrol, Captain Ray began directing the reinforcement of the site. When an enemy position pinned down 3 of his men with heavy volume of automatic weapons fire, he silenced the emplacement with a grenade and killed 4 Viet Cong with his rifle fire. As medics were moving a casualty toward a sheltered position, they began receiving intense hostile fire. While directing suppressive fire on the enemy position, Captain Ray moved close enough to silence the enemy with a grenade." I'll just interject here. When they say silence, you've got to think about what that battle was like at that particular point in time. And it's just interesting, some of the words they use in these citations. Goes on, it says, "A few moments later, Captain Ray saw an enemy grenade land unnoticed near 2 of his men. Without hesitation or regard for his safety, he dove between the grenade and the men, thus shielding them from the explosion while receiving wounds in his exposed feet and legs. He immediately sustained additional wounds. He immediately sustained additional wounds in his legs from an enemy machine gun, but nevertheless, he silenced the emplacement with another grenade. Although suffering great pain from his wounds, Captain Ray continued to direct his men, providing the outstanding courage and leadership they vitally needed, and prevented their annihilation by successfully leading them from their surrounded position. Only after assuring that his platoon was no longer in immediate danger did he allow himself to be evacuated for medical treatment. By his gallantry at the risk of his life and the highest traditions of the military service, Captain Ray has reflected great credit upon himself, his unit, and the U.S. Army." And I love this quote from him. He says this. He said, "To be successful, identify your goals and build the capacity within yourself to achieve them. Most people want instant gratification and will not put forth the time and hard work to build such capacity." So again, that is from Ronald E. Ray, United States Army Medal of Honor recipient. I want to get over to the news. But first of all, I wanted to say thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. And thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their gold sponsorship of the show as well. And the National Shooting Sports Foundation represents the nation's manufacturers, retailers, and distributors of firearms, optics, ammunition, and other related sporting goods and media. And they have a government relations team headed by Nephi Cole, who works relentlessly to advocate for measures on behalf of and works in defense of the firearm and ammunition industry at all levels and before all branches of government. I think that some of the biggest news right here in Colorado is that Tina Peters was sentenced yesterday. And as you know, she is a former county clerk in Mesa County, Colorado. And she had seen what she considered to be possible funny stuff going on with an election. It was a city council election. And so she was concerned about that. It kind of tweaked her interest. And she, up until that time, had believed this narrative that was put forth by the Secretary of State and Matt Crane with the Colorado Association of County Clerks, that we, in fact, had the gold standard. But she thought there was something curious regarding that particular election. Next thing you know, Secretary of State Jenna Griswold said that they were going to come in and do what was called a trusted build on the computer voting systems before the next election. And Tina Peters was concerned that what might happen is that some records might be overwritten or erased. And so because she believed that it was her duty, her legal duty, to make sure that she had those records, she went through some processes and policies that broke those policies and procedures. And she did so because she felt that she needed to make copies of these records to see if they were overwritten, what happened exactly. And so that's what she did. And that's what I feel she was really accused of, was that she didn't follow policies and procedures. But if she did, she could not make copies of these records. She makes copies of these records and finds that, yes, in fact, the records were overwritten and erased. And you can find all of that, the reports, by going to her website, and she has all the Mesa County reports, of which I've read all of them. But she was convicted of these processes and policy crimes. And so yesterday was her sentencing for those. And I would say the judge not only threw the book at her on the sentencing, he threw the encyclopedia at her. And she was sentenced to a total of 9 years behind bars for this election security breach. And it says, this is from KDVR, the judge made it clear, presiding over her sentencing, he wanted this sentencing to be an example. This was a message of what happens with people in this position. So very concerned about it. My prayers for Tina Peters. And I think that he did throw the encyclopedia at her on this particular, in this particular case, to send a message. And so stay tuned on that, because it's going to be very important to see what happens. We have these important discussions because of our great sponsors. One of those is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Give them a call at 303-795-8855. For a complimentary appointment to go over your insurance coverage. And they, if you bundle your insurance policies together, you might be able to save some money or a lot of money. But just give them a call to find out. That's the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this. I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
Boson Law fights for clients who've been injured or family members who have lost a loved one due to the careless, reckless, or wrongful conduct of others. Whether injured in a car accident, suffered an injury due to a product or bad pharmaceutical drug, or need help fighting for medical care and benefits following an accident at work, don't go it alone and uninformed. Boson Law is the law firm you need in your corner. Time is of the essence with any personal injury claim. Call 303-999-9999 to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 303-999-9999. Call now.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
It's Friday!
Indeed, it is Friday, and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. It is election season, and we will be rolling out the voter's guide in this week's newsletter. So make sure that you're signed up for that. Encourage your friends and family to be signed up as well. We will then have it on the website. I would say that we probably have put close to 200 hours into this by all of the research and the formatting. But we want it to be a tool for you as you fill out your ballot. I make a recommendation on what I would recommend and my reasoning, but my goal is that you are totally informed. The blue book that arrived in our mailboxes, I looked at it. It's like gobbledygook. I can't even understand it. And so I hope that you will include our voter's guide in your repertoire as you are filling out your ballot. And there is a question on the ballot. It is an amendment to the Colorado Constitution. It's Amendment 80. It's about school choice. On the surface, it looks like it's a good idea. But Carolyn Martin with the Colorado Home Educators, or the Christian Home Educators of Colorado, I saw her and she said, Kim, you need to take a look at this. I've got her on the line. Carolyn Martin, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I went back and read it. I got the actual text of Amendment 80. And I'm very concerned because in the second point there, it says that it gives the right to children K through 12 for school choice. And at that point, I felt it boxed the parents out. I think it's poorly written. I don't think that we should put poorly written, ambiguous things into our Constitution. And so I am a no on it. The Colorado Union of Taxpayers is a no on it as well. So you tell me what you know about it.
Yeah, Kim, I think you're right. I think we needed to get the language on this right, because I think we can all agree that parents have the fundamental right to direct the education of their children. We totally agree on that point. It's this idea of giving a K-12 child the right to school choice that is problematic and would put a wedge between parent and child because of what we're seeing across the nation and the world in how they're treating parental rights. So this is problematic, and it should have been gone back to the drawing board on the language.
And I totally agree. And I was at a luncheon yesterday, and one of the attendees said that, you know, she typically would look at what the teachers union might be in favor of. And then that could be a red flag that probably to vote the other way. Well, apparently the teachers union is against this as well. And so while many times that can be a good litmus test, in this case, I pushed back on it just because of the second point about giving kids K through 12 the right to school choice. And it does say in the first point that parents have the right to direct their children's education, but I think those two things could be in conflict. And so that's why I guess I'm joining the teachers union to be against this, Carolyn Martin.
Yeah, that's not how I would necessarily put that, that people are accusing me of standing with the teachers union, but that's not true. We just happen to have the same position on this. The teachers union actually thinks this will lead to a voucher system, which it possibly could, because they are creating a right for a child. And this would be considered a positive right that the government would need to then provide for. So it could lead to that, but that's probably years off. I think we're more concerned about giving this right to a child where the state will come in and have to be the arbiter between the parent and the child. So yeah, we're not really standing with the union, with the teachers union, but we certainly hold the same position they do on it.
Yeah, and I think that these things can get messy, and they can. That's why I do my voter's guide. Carolyn Martin, is nobody pays me to take a stand on anything. I'm not influenced by all of these consultants and operatives. I look at it, what do I think is what is best for the people of Colorado, we the people, within the context of our Constitution. And when we get to a situation with our children, putting something into the Constitution that is so ambiguous without these definitions defined it's not a good idea. And so it's not that they can't try again. But of course, the consultants and operatives, regardless if this wins or fails, they will be making money on that. And I think that's an important distinction to make for people, is that because sometimes you ask why, and sometimes I think it comes down to money, unfortunately, Carolyn.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head on that one. I think also, you know, in this initiative, it talks about the children have a right to a quality education. Right now, you know, the government has control over public schools and the quality of the public schools. And I'm not so sure that's working out too well for us. And if you give them the ability to control the quality in all other forms of education, the private education, the home education, that's going to decrease the quality, not increase it. And so I have a real problem with that statement as well, giving children the idea that the state's going to provide this quality education for them in all arenas of education. The only way we get quality is outside of the public system.
Well, and that is so interesting.
That's another problem, with it. And also, you talked about definitions. I mean, homeschooling really isn't defined in the law. Our law talks about a non-public home-based educational program, but they never use the word homeschool. And so putting that in the Constitution is another problematic piece to this measure. I would have never used those words to put it into the Constitution.
Yes, and words matter big time. So, and Carolyn, one of the things the proponents for it are saying is that, okay, it's not perfect, which is not even close to perfect, but if it goes down in flames, then the left will use this as an excuse to say, see, the people of Colorado don't want school choice. And that doesn't seem like a good reason to me to vote to put something into the Constitution that's so ambiguous.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good reason at all. I mean, they've told me that you're going to get regulated anyway. So what's the big deal? It is a big deal. Anytime there is a threat that we're going to be regulated as homeschoolers and as really parents and family, the family's going to be regulated, then I'm going to push back wherever I find that. So it's not a good reason. And I think they're not taking into account what homeschoolers have been fighting for since the 80s, which is parental rights, and what we're seeing across the nation and the world, and how the legal system, the legislators, everybody else are treating parental rights. They have great disdain for parental rights. We see it every year. That's the fight that I have most at the legislature is to preserve parental rights. So I am really concerned about this.
Well, absolutely. And I just wanted to make a note, because in my voter's guide, as I was looking at all of these big asks by school districts for money, and as I started to put all that together, it's billions of dollars that these school districts in the Front Range are asking voters to take on that much debt. But I also thought I'm going to take a look at third grade proficiency from their CMAS scores. And so here you've got over here that you in the language in this Amendment 80 would say that children have a right to a, I think it's quality education. I don't have it right here in front of me. But when we look at the results, Adams 12 five-star schools is asking for $830 million in a bond request and $34.5 million in a mill levy override. But yet their third graders are proficient at 41.4% rate and math 33.3%. That means that 60-70% of their kids can't read and do math by third grade. And that, my understanding, you're the educator, is that reading by third grade is a great indicator on success in life. And so I don't think the state's doing a very good job. And the numbers can be a little bit higher or lower, but the best was Douglas County. And they were at 62.3% in language arts and 52.3% in math. But when I was in school, anything in the 60s was a D, and anything in less than 60% was an F. And so we're not doing a great job here in Colorado for our kids.
Yeah, no, I don't think we're doing a great job. I think across the nation, everyone is having that problem. And you can point back to some of the changes they did in the 60s, 70s, and they brought in Common Core. I mean, that's a whole big discussion. But I think those numbers continue throughout. I mean, not just third grade, eighth grade, graduation rates, all of that. It translates into bad outcomes. This year, actually, they passed a bill to try to track those outcomes a little better. But it's dismal what the public school's doing. So why should we let them control all education? That would be really bad. I mean, some people are homeschooling because of what they're seeing their kids failing in the public school.
There are great public school teachers, and this is for the complete district. There's schools that are doing better than that, but I think we, for our ROI, our return on investment, we need to make sure that the money is that our kids are learning to read and write and do arithmetic. And so no on Amendment 80. Do not put this in the Constitution. The language is too ambiguous. It boxes out parental rights. That's my reasons. I think that's pretty much yours as well, right, Carolyn?
Yes, yes. And I want to thank you, Kim, for taking a look at this and having the integrity to stand on your no. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Anything else, Carolyn, you want people to know?
No, that we just need, we're willing to work with them and get the language right, but that's not happening at this point. So just vote no. So thank you so much.
Okay, and that's Carolyn Martin with the Christian Home Educators. Oh, hey, Carolyn, before you go, one other thing. It's not only homeschoolers that are a no on this, but I thought the private schools weren't that interested in it either. Clarify that for me. Yes, no?
I don't know. I've seen different things. I think that the Catholics are for it, and the Lutherans aren't. I mean, it's just this weird dichotomy going on. Just different people see different ways. So yeah, I'm not sure about all the private schools out there.
Okay. Well, thanks for that clarification. And this is not the first time that the Catholics and Lutherans looked at things a little differently. So thank you so much, Carolyn Martin. And we will continue to shed light on all of these different ballot initiatives. And we get to do this because of our sponsors. And a great sponsor is Lavaca Meat Company. And as I always mention, it's very tasty, but it also is really a healthy component of your diet. And again, that's Lavaca Meat Company.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Our store is located at the corner of Main and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
It is Friday, and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Do check out the website for the USMC Memorial Foundation. And we're coming in on November. Of course, there's Election Day, but there's also Veterans Day. And a great way to honor those that have given their lives or been willing to give their lives for our liberty is to make a contribution or to buy a brick to be on the pathways of service to honor your loved one's military service. So you can do all that by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. I am so pleased to have on the line with me Jay Valentine. He is with Omega 4 America and a technology company, and he is a big part of our Colorado 2024 election project. And we are to the point now where we are raising money to hire them to run Colorado from a fractal technology component. Jay, you can help me out on this. Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning. How are you today?
I am well, and I had two speaking gigs yesterday, and last night I was talking about our Colorado 2024 election project, where we've working with United Sovereign Americans in step one, you and Peter Bernegger in step two with the Wisconsin Center for Election Justice, and then, of course, I'm shedding light on all of this as well with our PR campaign. But you've been very busy. Well, a couple of things. Your Substack certainly is gets people's attention, Jay Valentine, because you are very concerned about the results of this election. So talk to me, first of all, about that.
Well, we think that the election is not 30 days away. We think the election is closer to 60 to 90 days away. And the reason is we think what's going to happen is that most of the swing states are going to be contested. They're going to be contested right through the election. And what we're doing is anticipating that that might be the case. We are collecting, publishing the list of ballots that have been received in the swing states, but they come from ineligible locations. and we're publishing those in categories. So, for instance, it's our expectation, for instance, in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, that on November 7th or 8th, one candidate will have won them by 0.5%, maybe by 1%. But we will be showing twice that number of ballots that have been counted because they're in the cast ballot file. But those ballots came from a Walmart, a shopping mall. They came from a person who moved out of state 3 months ago. And those numbers aggregate into the thousands, into the hundreds of thousands. So we think that it's going to be a really close election. And we just want everybody to know how many of these ballots that are coming in to decide the next president and the next Congress are probably illegitimate ballots.
Okay, so it and you've not run you did AI on Colorado, right? But you've not done the fractal technology, and that is where we are right now. I got sidetracked on the fundraising with this voter's guide and a couple things, so I'm ready to get back into that so that we can get you hired to run Colorado as well.
We've done some work in Colorado. I mean, we've already run the AI part of our system against Colorado voter rolls. I think I told you we have found 250,000 people on the current Colorado voter roll who have the city and zip code don't match, which means that when they get a mail-in ballot shipped to them, they're not going to get it. So that ballot's going somewhere, but it's not going to them. And Colorado's a generally rural state. So if you're off, you know, one or two digits on a zip code, it could be 100 miles. And so you got 250,000 of those right now. Now, we're going to do much deeper analysis, and we're going to publish it, and we'll put it on our website, stopbogusballots.com. And we're going to put it on the website so people across the country can see how bad the voter rolls are in your state. But your state's no different from any other state. I mean, they're all terrible. And we are going to demonstrate that for everybody to see.
And so, as I mentioned, Jay has already run AI, and he's working with Peter Bernegger with Wisconsin's Center for Election Justice. And I talked to both Jay and Peter yesterday. And you all are doing a whole bunch of work in swing states. And, in fact, Peter said that in Georgia, and I think also it was, I can't remember which state, that they had filed their legal cases, and they had, so things are, they're right over the target, I would say, on that. And he said Colorado, they are ready to file the legal case, and for the legal case, using a lot of the technology from his Titan system, but they found a whole bunch of irregularities as well. And then Griswold just uploaded new stuff on the voters' rolls last week. So he's running that. We want to get this money raised so that we can get you to run the fractal technology for Colorado. But now let's, and all of you, so many of you have stepped forward and you have contributed to this Colorado 2024 election project. And if you want more information, text me 720-605-0647, because we are Colorado centric on this particular project, but Jay is doing something for the nation, and that is stopbogusballots.com. So with that, Jay, you have published things in these swing states of Nevada, North Carolina, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota. And my, oh my, what you have published here is unbelievable.
Well, people just need to understand that voter fraud is, as people traditionally understand voter fraud, is not how elections are determined. And that sounds like such a counterintuitive statement, and I guess it is. What people think of in voter fraud is, well, there are dead people on the voter rolls, and there are people on the voter rolls that somebody snuck in the name of a person. No, that kind of stuff happens. But that is a tiny percentage of how elections are illegally determined. One of the things that we show, and we show this at scale, is in all of the swing states, Colorado will be no different. You have totally legal ballots being mailed to a totally legal address, to a totally legal human being. So nothing there is nefarious. And yet when that ballot is returned, it is totally illegal. How can that be? Well, because the ballot is being mailed to a Walmart, which is a legal address, and it's being mailed to Bill Jones, who's a real human being. And Bill Jones may be registered at a Walmart or somebody registered him there. But it's only when we compare the property tax rolls and the postal rolls, we see that somebody has been voting from a college and university for 20 years, from a fraternity house for 15 years, and they're 109 years old, and they're a woman. Now, when you look at all of these different databases, Kim, and you cross-search them, you see that things that appear to be totally legal are actually, when you look at them from three or four points of view, you can see they're not legal at all. So it's not right for somebody to vote from Walmart. It isn't right for somebody to vote from Brigham Young University for 15 years from a college dormitory. Well, you don't see that in a one-dimensional voter roll. You see it when you do fractal analysis on that, and we compare six or seven different databases. And now what we see is there are hundreds of thousands of these in every state. So when you go to stopbogusballots.com, which is our website, you're going to see people who have just moved in the NCOA change of address database picks them up, but the registrar of voters doesn't. Well, those are totally legal people getting totally legal ballots, but they don't get them. The ballot's going to be collected by some NGO, non-governmental organization, probably a Catholic Charities, Lutheran Charities. A lot of these church charities are in on this. They're going to be taken to a central location. They're going to be voted, and they're going to be put in the system. So the overwhelming amount of fraud that's in the system is really, it is invisible to most current technologies because people don't see that. They're looking for the dead people on the voter roll. And while they're there, they're not enough to turn an election. But we're showing in Pennsylvania 1.4 million of these addresses right now, totally legal address, totally legal person, but the combination of the person and the address creates an illegal ballot because it is a person voting from a college dormitory for 15 years, a person voting from a homeless shelter for 20 years. Well, if you're voting from a homeless shelter for 20 years, you're not homeless. That's the kind of stuff going on, and that's been invisible to people for decades, and we pick it up. It's 438,000 of these in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's going to be determined by 22,000 votes for Trump or for Harris. But there's 438,000 of these out there. And we are filing a suit. They're going to announce it, I think, this weekend. We're filing a big lawsuit. Peter is, of course, involved in that in Wisconsin. And Peter's doing another one, I know, in your state. And it's all from the same type of data that we collect. And this is how the elections are determined.
Well, and the reason that Peter's doing that is because of the Colorado 2024 Election Project and all of you stepping forward because you care so much. So text me 720-605-0647 I can get you more details. And also thank you to all of you who support us. And we are now working on this next step to raise the money to have Jay run the fractal component of the Colorado 2024 Election Project. Let's go to break. And when we come back, we'll continue the discussion with Jay Valentine. But do check out their website. That is stopbogusballots.com. Stopbogusballots.com. This is for our country, my friends. Because if we cannot trust that we are having these honest and fair and transparent elections, then we've got real, real problems. And we do have real problems. And so be sure and check that out. We have these important discussions because of our sponsors. And for Everything Mortgages, Lauren Levy can help you in all the states except New York. And yes, for Everything Mortgages, Lauren Levy.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Now that school's back in, mom and dad can enjoy some alone time, and that means heading to the range to fire off a few rounds. Franktown Firearms has the ammunition and inventory you need and at the lowest tax rate around. If there's something that you're looking for and Franktown doesn't have it, they can probably find it for you. With their 30-yard, 10-lane ventilated range, it is the perfect place to hone your shooting skills and spend some quality time. Qualified instructors from law enforcement and military backgrounds are available for training when you want to improve your skills. And ladies, don't miss Ladies' Night the first Friday of each month, where you can shoot with like-minded women and grow your skills together. So come down and see why Franktown Firearms is the place where friends are made, and take advantage of their many specials. Find out more about Franktown by visiting the advertisers page on klzradio.com today.
It is Friday, and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And Jay Valentine is on the line with me. He is with Omega 4 America, and they're a technology company, and they have a website now, stopbogusballots.com. And Jay, you created this because so many people from all over the country have read your Substack. They're so concerned about this election, and they've said, gosh, we want to help. And so that's why you started this website, yes?
Well, we did, because what we're trying to do is explain to people that all of these voter integrity groups you see running around out there chasing the wrong rabbit, they're all saying, oh, we're getting dead people off the voter rolls. Well, they're not. They're saying that we're cleaning the voter rolls. Well, they're not. If you go to our website, we post the one in Georgia. It's on our blog about the 45,000 people they found in Georgia who they have affidavits. The guy clearly doesn't exist. Not one person was taken off the voter roll. The judge told them to pound sand. So what we're doing is we're opening people's eyes that these voter integrity organizations who are telling you they're cleaning voter rolls, number one, they're not. But number two, that's not where the problem is. The problem is dirty voter rolls. There's no question about that. But the bigger problem is what we call the temporal problem, which is how long is a person at this address? This person is a totally legitimate person, but they're not at a college dormitory for 15 years. And we're finding those by the thousands to tens of thousands in every single state, plus homeless shelters, plus churches where, you know, people are at a homeless shelter. We can't be at a homeless shelter for 20 years or a drug rehab. People vote from a drug rehab or a Job Corps center for 15 years. Well, you're not at one of those locations for that long. So we need to put in place a law in each of these states that says, hey, at some point we have a reasonable check to say, are you still there? And if you are still there, maybe you shouldn't be in a drug rehab facility for 15 years or a college dormitory. We need to start looking at the temporal aspect of these voter rolls, and we're the only ones who are doing that.
Well, and this is step two of our Colorado 2024 election project. Jay, you had mentioned that, I'd been on the board of Lutheran Family Services back in the 90s for 6 years. So I understand this whole refugee resettlement asylum thing, how this is being played. I get it. But a good friend of mine, dear friend of mine, just said, really? Catholic Charities does not harvest ballots. So I think please address that, because you said that these religious organizations are. So please address that.
Well, they are. Remember, guys, we're not people who are showing up with an opinion because we read something in a newspaper. We run something called the Dark Money Tracking System. And if you go to our website, you're going to see on the StopBogusBallots.com, an example of that, where we look at the Tides Foundation. And from the Tides Foundation, we see everybody who gives it money and everybody to whom it gives money. Well, when we look at the various organizations who are trafficking, not just in ballots, but who are trafficking in bringing, I don't call them refugees, bringing illegal aliens over the border, and in some cases bringing children, unaccompanied children, over the border, what we are showing is that they are the religious charities and groups associated with them. There are a bunch of them that are associated with Catholic charities. There are a bunch of them with Lutheran charities. And these groups are funded by these individual groups. We know that they are bringing illegals over the border. We know that these groups are involved in this ballot harvesting. And the way that we know that is because we can tell that they are tied to other groups. And those groups are actually the ones who are literally sitting in the churches and filling out the ballots. And we make all of this visible. And this isn't some opinion. If you go to the website and you see the granularity with which we can track the interconnectedness of all of these organizations, you will be stunned. And if your Catholic Charities people getting their hair mussed up over that, that's really too bad, because we can also show that a lot of these religious organizations, and some of them are tied to the Catholic Charities groups, some are tied to Lutheran charities and others, we can show they have ties to money coming in from communist China. So this is not something that we just think is interesting because we read it somewhere. We actually run the 990 forms from the IRS. So we show the relationships among all these organizations, and they're black and white and easy to see. So people may not like to hear that, but that's just the truth.
Yeah, we don't like to hear that. Like I say, I was on the board from Lutheran Family Services for many years, and again, this was in the 90s, and I had gotten to know them because of an adoption of someone close to me, and I loved that work, and they were helping seniors, and I loved that work. I was thinking that this was charity work, and I love the fact that I thought that they were bringing in refugees, political or religious refugees from other countries that were being persecuted. I thought, oh, this is so important. But then, Jay, as I was on the executive board, and I started to look at the money, and I'm like, wait a minute, $12 million of the $14 million budget is coming from government and primarily for refugee resettlement. And then I said, well, how are we assimilating these people into our country? Are we telling them about Christianity and the American idea? And they said, well, we can't because we're taking government money. And so it's been a real journey for me to connect the dots to we now get to a point here in Colorado where we were per capita had the most illegal aliens of any city in the nation. Now in Colorado, Jay, and a bill was passed where people that are here illegally can get a driver's license. When you get a driver's license, unless you say that you're not a citizen, you automatically are registered to vote. And I was speaking a couple of nights ago, and a woman came up and said, my son's a Jehovah's Witness, and he went to get his driver's license. He doesn't want to register to vote because that's not something Jehovah's Witnesses do. They would not give him his driver's license unless he registered to vote. So me connecting the dots means all these illegals have, many of these illegals are going to be getting ballots. And with the fractal technology, will we be able to figure that out?
Well, sure. And remember, those illegals are not going to be getting ballots. The address at which they have registered is going to get a ballot. That ballot is going to be harvested or collected by one of these organizations, many of whom will be religious organizations. But a lot of them are not. A lot of them are also these different organizations that are progressive get-out-the-vote groups. There are a million of them out there. And they're the ones who collect the ballots. People who are illegal aliens are very unlikely to vote, and they're certainly not going to vote in person. What you want them for is you know that they're going to move on. They may not move out of Denver, but they're going to move maybe to a different street corner or to a different homeless shelter. But those ballots are not. The ballots are going to collect. We see those. We can see the aggregation by address of these ballots. Now, we can't prove that it's for an illegal alien, but we can certainly prove that the ballot and the person combination is an illegitimate vote, and we can flag that. So that's something that we definitely do. I mean, remember, we're the guys who built the TSA no-fly list, and we kind of know about how to do this sort of stuff.
Okay, and they're not going to vote all of these ballots. I don't think anyway. This is again my just as I think about it. They're going to vote what they need to, because if they voted all of them, it would be so easy to see the bogusness of all this. I know that's probably not a word. We've got about a minute left. Am I correct on that? How do you want to button this up?
Well, sure. You will notice in all of these elections, they're always close. And the reason they're close is because just what you said. They're going to do just enough to win and not make a big point of it. And they're going to not show their cards. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And it will happen in a lot of close races.
But we can hopefully stop this, right, with the StopBogusBallots.com and our Colorado 2024 election project. That is a big goal of all of this, right, Jay?
It is. And I think that we're going to, certainly in the states that we're involved in, we are going to damp a lot of this stuff down. We've already begun doing it.
Well, it's really important work. And again, you can get a lot more information by going to StopBogusBallots.com, StopBogusBallots.com. Jay Valentine, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again very, very soon.
Bye now. Thank you.
And before we go to break, question, and I don't know the answer to this regarding Tina Peters, is on whether or not she can post bail on this. So I don't know if you know the answer. Text me at 720-605-0647. Our quote for the end of the show is from Laozi. And he says this, from courage or from caring comes courage. And I think that's true. And so today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. And stay tuned for hour number two. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce, through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive. I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. And welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. And thank you to the team that I get to work with. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday, producer Joe.
Happy Friday, Kim.
And yes, important show. And my friend who challenged Jay regarding Catholic Charities and this harvesting of ballots. I will ask Jay for the proof on that as well, because certainly if we are have guests saying so, I guess I need to fact check. but I will ask him for that to be able to prove that, because it is important. We want to be accurate on the show at all times. And so that's what we strive to do. And I thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. And I thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their gold sponsorship of the show as well. And our word of the day is stoic. And that is spelled S-T-O-I-C. And it could be one who seemingly is indifferent or unaffected by joy, grief, pleasure, or pain. And number two, it could be a member of an originally Greek school of philosophy founded by Zeno of Citium about 308 BC, believing that God determined everything for the best and that virtue is sufficient for happiness. Its later Roman form advocated the calm acceptance of all occurrences as the unavoidable result of divine will or of the natural order. And I said that yesterday I did some speaking, and I was looking into the audience, and I could tell somebody totally disagreed with me on a few things, and she was very stoic. There was really no emotion there. So that's why I chose the word stoic, S-T-O-I-C. Our quote of the day is from Ronald E. Ray, United States Army Medal of Honor recipient, born in 1941. Actions were June 19th, 1966. And he said this. He said, "To be successful, identify your goals and build the capacity within yourself to achieve them. Most people want instant gratification and will not put forth the time and hard work to build capacity." And again, that's Ronald E. Ray. Our big news of the day, and in the last segment of this show, we will be taking call-ins. And so if you want to make comments regarding the news items, please do. And this Tina Peters, as I'm reading this, it looks like, I guess they immediately, this is from the Sun. And again, I was busy with a whole bunch of other stuff yesterday, so I didn't get quite all the details. But apparently they put handcuffs on her and took her to jail and said that she's going to be in jail for up to 60 days. And then they're going to transfer her to the Department of Corrections, a 9-year sentence. And again, I really believe these are process and policy crimes. And this is, as I said, the judge didn't only throw the book at her on this. I think he threw the whole encyclopedia at her. And so we certainly need to think of her and keep her in our hope, our thoughts and our prayers. The next thing that I did want to mention, and this is unbelievable to me, when somebody told me this headline yesterday, this is from the New York Post, says the feds say there's no money left to respond to hurricanes after FEMA spent $1.4 billion on migrants. And of course, all the money that's gone to Ukraine. And here we have people, our citizens are suffering because of this hurricane. And Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas set off outrage when he told reporters that the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, doesn't have those funds. I've got to think every American, at least I guess the radical activist Democrats who don't really love America, they would think that's okay. But my gosh, my friends, moderate Democrats and unaffiliateds and libertarians and Republicans and conservatives, we have to look at these actions, and we've got to choose for our America here. And so if the Harris, O'Biden, Obama administrations are treating our fellow citizens this way after this tragic storm, loss of life, loss of property, we have to say, you know, what are they really all about? Well, I think it's pretty apparent, but we need to be talking with people about it and wake them up on what this agenda really is. I think that's just super important. And so it's Friday. We have Jim May on the line. You know him. He's with Lavaca Meat Company. Jim May, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. It's good to be on 56 KLZ. It's finally Friday.
It is. It is. And Jim, I always talk about how tasty Lavaca meat, their steaks are, their hamburgers, everything. It's very tasty. It really is premium beef. And let me just share this with you. Over the years, I typically may not be able to eat a complete piece of beef at one sitting. And so I'll warm it up for, you know, some other meal. And many times, even these other great steaks, there's a little bit of a taste that I realize that it's a leftover. But when I reheat my Lavaca steak, it tastes just as good then as the first time. And I think it is because it is such a premium product.
Well, I think that's absolutely right, Kim. The Lavaca meat is a premium, high choice prime cut of meat. That's handled the right way, aged, and it's different than most of the meat that you buy. I mean, if I ever go to a steakhouse and can't eat it all, I always get the doggy bag, and at the steakhouse, that same steak, if you want to pop it in the micro for 30 seconds or something, it just tastes great the next morning, too. And I think that's the case with Lavaca meat. We do everything we can to make it the best it can be. We're coming up on the holidays here, and Jerry wanted me to say, you know, we do our best business over the holidays, and you know, this is a great gift for folks. We can ship it to you online to people. A lot of people come in and get a gift bag for their employees, or a real nice white gold-lettered Lavaca meat bag. We're kind of featuring out. I'm asking Jerry, if you come in and mention you heard on 56 KLZ, we're gonna work with you to see if we can put some things together. So,
awesome.
Looking forward to the holidays. I guess my thoughts for this show, you know, just a couple quick things. Is please pray for these folks in North Carolina. And I mean, I've been looking at this. It sounds like we spent most of our FEMA money, a lot of it on the illegal immigrant situation. You know, giving these immigrants hotel rooms and cell phones and all the things we do. And now we've got a real tragedy, and we can't take another one. We're about out of money with FEMA, and they're really asleep at the wheel. These people they're coming up on 200 dead people, and now they're finding corpses, and it's just no water, no food out there in the rural areas. Their power's gone, and they really need our help. And that's what the government's supposed to be for, instead of some of the things that we're doing. But that's just this cowboy talking, I guess.
Well, and Jim, I spoke yesterday at a couple of different events, and a woman came up to me and said that her family lives in Tennessee, and she was leaving to go to Tennessee to help them, and that there were charities that were there helping the people, and this is what this person shared with me. She said that after about six hours after Kamala Harris was, visiting these areas, word came down that they would not let them, they would not let charities be in there to help people, that it was only going to be the government. And then the next thing you know, I see this headline. There's something really weird that seems to be going on with this, Jim. I can't
figure
it out.
Boy, that is really wrong. That's really wrong. We're the type of country that, you know, we go into these situations. A lot of those people down there, I've been watching it on the news. I can't remember the famous country singer, Chris. The name slips my mind, but
Chris Stapleton, maybe?
No, it's not Chris Stapleton. It's
okay.
You remember? So anyway, he just took it upon himself, he and his wife, and they took a whole bunch of water, food to all these little tiny church towns that nobody could even find on a map, and trying to help those people out.
Awesome.
But it's just awesome. And what a great thing for him to do, and we should continue to give to those kind of causes and everything. I really feel for them, but you know, unfortunately, our president's out on the beach and asleep at the wheel, and he's way late getting in there. We've got these forts Fort Benning, Georgia, all those good posts that they could put on this thing fast, and it's not getting done, and it's just a reflection of what we've had for the last 3.5 years.
And it just is a reflection of what if Kamala Harris and company are elected.
Unfortunately, that's what we'd have to look forward to for the next four. So
yeah, not going to be
good.
And
I appreciate your talk today about those voting irregularities, the fraud, and that stuff. It's important that we all work toward that, cleaning that up if we can, and certainly get out and vote now. Vote anytime you can, because we want to make sure we get that vote in, right?
Absolutely. So yeah. With that, Jim, do you have a cowboy poem today or not?
Okay, yeah, I kind of do. This one I've said before. The day before yesterday, we covered one of our feedlots piles. We've covered all our silage piles with plastic, and we put tarp on the piles. You've probably seen that if you're driving through the country sometimes. And 1 yard's still taken. We're about half full of corn, and we're going to continue to take the wet corn. And this is a little poem that, you know, we're also bringing all the cattle off the grass, the babies off their cows, weaning them, bringing them in. And then the big yearlings that are out on grass are coming in. So it's a really super busy time. We're working hard and putting in long hours. But this is called When You Finish Taking Cattle in the Fall. Though this place is always busy, the end of summer makes you dizzy. Work this time of year just never seems to end. And your feelings and the weather, they seem to kind of run together. You know, hunting season's just around the bend. Mm-hmm. And the nights are getting colder, and you feel a little older when you know you got your back against the wall. And you hope you can get it all done, and maybe you can stop and have some fun when you finish taking the cattle in the fall. The plastic tarp is on the pile, and it kind of makes you smile when that last truck dumps and drives away. It's a comfort because you're knowing that when those blizzards start to blowing, there's a pile of feed that you can count on every day. And the new calves, they're a-balling, and the truckers just keep hauling till you hate to hear that truck dispatcher call. And you know, you hope you can get it done, and you're going to stop and have some fun when you finish taking cattle in the fall. Now, some folks, they get down when this season comes around. They say how they hate to see the summer go. But the people on the land, well, they seem to understand that the good times start when the work slows down, you know. After the long days in the saddle with the horses and the cattle, there's a light out there when the days are getting small. Because you know you'll get it done and you can stop and have some fun when you finish taking the cattle in the fall. Then one day you get your son and you break out that old shotgun and you and he can go find a bird or two. It's a good life that we live. We take and then we give, and we're proud of who you are and what you do. Because all the work and all the sweat make it worth the feeling that you get when you hear that rooster flush and make his call. And then a man and his son, they can stop and have some fun when you finish taking cattle in the fall.
I love that, Jim May. I appreciate that so much. I can't believe we are in October, fall. It's hard to believe, but I love that. Yeah. So have a great week, and we'll talk to you then next Friday as well. So thanks so much.
Thanks, Kim. You have a great weekend and a great week next week. We'll see you guys next week.
Okay, sounds great. Again, Lavaca Meat Company for that steakhouse experience at home. And another great sponsor of the show is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And Roger is so knowledgeable because he's been in business for 48 years. And so give them a call at 303-795-8855 for a complimentary appointment.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this. I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of the Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
It's Friday! It is Friday, and welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. I am an independent voice, and I search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. A couple of things. One of our listeners said that Corey Mills is doing yeoman's work and working with Glenn Beck through Mercury One to fly in needed supplies for those victims of Hurricane Helene. And so sounds like Mercury One, that's easy for me to say, is legitimate. And Franklin Graham's Samaritan Purse, I think that those are two good places that you could give money. The problem with these tragedies like this is then you have nefarious actors that get in and say that you want to help people where they just want to take your money. So you want to make sure that you are giving to reputable organizations when you do that. So thank you, Holly, for letting me know about that. On the line with me is Natalie Minton, and she is running for Jefferson County Commissioner, which is a big deal because Natalie has been an advocate protecting the taxpayer. Who's the taxpayer? All of us. And she's been doing this for many, many years, former director on the RTD board. Natalie Minton, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. I'm glad to be here.
And Natalie, before we get into it, we are both big fans of Jansen Photography. Mary Jansen, Glenn Jansen, they're true entrepreneurs. Glenn knows the magic of proper lighting. And then if photos need a little touch-up, Mary's really good at that. And you and I have both had some beautiful portraits taken by Jansen Photography.
Well, my photo is a little more than a little, and Mary did a great job. So touch up. So they a lot. They do a fantastic job. So highly recommend them. I've known them a long time, very long time. Mary and Glenn have added so much to the community, even beyond their business, Jansen Photography. Highly recommend them. And if people are looking for great work coming up here, whether it's the kids, you and the dog, you for a business shot, I highly recommend them.
Absolutely. And they can get more information by going to Jansen Photography. That's J-A-N-S-S-E-N photography.com. So Natalie Minton, we're going to talk about a lot of things. You have been an advocate for the taxpayer, which is all of us, for years, and saved all of us hundreds of thousands of dollars, I think. And we don't even realize it. And so you are now running for Jefferson County Commissioner. And I'm really excited about that, Natalie, because we need people in these county commissioner, a city council, down at the state house, people that will represent us, we the people, instead of special interests. So tell us about your campaign.
Sure. I'll start with first, a lot of people don't really know what the county commissioners do. County commissioners, in a large picture, high level, are dealing with a large budget and dealing with certain services that they were designated to conduct, perform on behalf of the state government. So there's a very direct line between what the county does and what the state is mandating. I'll give an example that's very important to me, and I know others. And that is, where do we go with housing in Colorado? The state legislature and the government have put a very bright spotlight on increasing housing. But their definition of increasing housing in a lot of cases means subsidized housing. With our water concerns in Colorado, that's a big issue. So the county commissioners are in that role. I have saved taxpayers through years and years and years of effort, along with others. It's not just me, but I've been very active in these roles, beyond hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're in millions of dollars. And I'm happy to do that because I think one of the biggest issues in Colorado is affordability. And so I look forward to being elected, continuing to do the work that I do down at the state legislature on behalf of those in Jeffco. And in the Jefferson County role, you're dealing with some very big zoning issue cases, land use cases, but the budget is a big part of it. Jeffco has a ballot issue this year. Again, it's the third time in 5 years. to eliminate our property tax caps. The current county commissioner, the one I'm running against, cannot stand, does not like, wants to get rid of our taxpayers' Bill of Rights. I would be the complete opposite, as I'm a longstanding, as a 2-3 decades fighting for our Tabor. And the guy I'm running against was the chief plaintiff, meaning in a court case called Kerr versus Hickenlooper. The case was intended to eliminate our taxpayers' Bill of Rights entirely. We wouldn't even get a vote on tax increases. So here I am fighting for taxpayers, putting money in your pocket, and the guy I'm running against doesn't even want people to vote on tax issues. So it's a big, clear difference between myself and the fellow I'm running against, who I've known for a very long time.
Well, and what are you hearing from the campaign trail? What is it all looking like to you, Natalie Minton?
I'm very positive. I would love to have some more volunteers, though. We still have a lot of area to cover. The county is a big, a lot of precincts, a lot of doors, a lot of people that are anxious to learn more about a county commissioner race because they, again, like I started, don't really know exactly what the county commissioners do. So with that, we've got ballots going out October 11th. That's a Friday. That's when they are mailed out. So voters will get the ballot, somewhere between probably the 14th to the 16th. That gives a good week here of where I'm looking for more people to help get lit on doors. And my lit is a combo piece. It's talking not only about my work in public policy for over 2 decades, focus points, but it also talks about this issue I've described that Jefferson County has put on the ballot to eliminate our property tax caps. Because my literature has both those parts to it, the reception at the door, if volunteers want to knock on the door and talk to the voter, has been very positive. People are confused. They know their property taxes are high. They're worried about how they're going to be able to afford it. And because there's deceptive ballot language, which we see in so many levels of government, when they compose a ballot question, that my literature helps share the word about what I've done, what I want to do, how I want to protect the residents of Jeffco. But it also gives them that additional information that they're going to need before they vote on something that will they don't understand because it's written that way so that it's not clear. They'll be eliminating their property tax caps and their Jefferson County Tabor refunds if they vote for it. So the volunteers are enjoying it. Yesterday I spoke with one. She said, the precinct I'm walking with your lit right now has been the most beautiful, positive experience that I've gotten. I've gotten so many people that are saying, thank you so much for bringing that to me. I've been wondering about these things. So one thing I should mention, my website is nataliementon.com. And there is a link there to sign up and volunteer. I would love that to have that help now. And as we note, even though ballots go out October 11th and arrive in mailboxes 14th, 15th of this month, that still leaves weeks there before the final election day, November, 5th. And what we have found is in elections, about 50% of the voters will be casting their ballot the last 4 days before the election. So the ballots are going out. What I'm trying to, October 11th, what I'm trying to express is that's not when the election is over. The election goes till 7:01 p.m. election night in my world. And that last minute word to people, if people can help for 3 hours, 2 hours, putting literature on doors, that helps get the message out about me. But I'm really secondary. Volunteers don't like hearing this, but I mean, they do, they don't. But they're like, Natalie, you need to promote more your commission race. But I'm like, that's great. But one person, it doesn't mean that much compared to the policy that I am working all day long to try to protect. And that's our taxpayers' Bill of Rights. It is our 24/7 guardian. And there's just one person, one elected person, that's a 4-year term, an 8-year term. Yes, you can get some policies in. But that policy we have in our Constitution is way more important than one person.
So, well, and that's,
I went on a little bit long there, but I'm passionate about that.
Well, and it's important that people understand that. I'm talking with Natalie Minton, and she has really been an advocate for the taxpayer. Well, who's the taxpayer? It is all of us for many years, and she is now stepped forward to run for Jefferson County Commissioner. Before we go to break, and we'll be back with Natalie Minton, what is that website one more time?
Natalie Minton, and that's MENTEN.com, NatalieMinton.com.
And so we'll continue the discussion with Natalie. We have all and any candidate that reaches out to me, I will get them on the show. And because I think it's important that you know them, and we get to do it because of our great sponsors. So for anything residential real estate, be sure and reach out to Karen Levine.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Our store is located at the corner of Main and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. It's finally.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. In the first hour, I shared on Fridays, I share a quote from the Medal of Honor quote book from the Center for American Values, and would highly recommend. We're talking about holidays. Great gifts could be a gift certificate for a portrait to Jansen Photography. Some great Lavaca meat could be a great gift. And of course, another great gift, and I've given this to a number of different people, is the Medal of Honor quote book from the Center for American Values. So be sure and check that out. You can order it by going to AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. Natalie Minton is on the line with me. She is really an advocate for the taxpayer, which is all of us. She's running for Jefferson County Commissioner. She served on the RTD board for a number of years. But when the Gallagher Amendment was voted on to get rid of the Gallagher Amendment, which want to make a point that it was Republican operatives that were involved in this as well as Democrats. I was a no vote in my voter's guide because I thought we take off these guardrails, we're going to have significant tax increases, and with the higher assessment rates, that's what happened. And Susan Kochevar texted me and said, and I remember what happened to her when the cap came off on her property tax. It went from $14,000 to over $40,000, Natalie Minton. And that's significant. And so Susan wanted to make that point, Natalie.
Well, I agree. We took the cap out of the Constitution there, put it in the hands of legislators, and what they've shown to do is try to shove bills through at the last minute during the legislative session, making some pretty ugly sausage, and that's why that is exactly why the keeping our taxpayers' Bill of Rights is so important. The property tax cap that's in Tabor Section 7C. And so I want people to note that, because I've just been asked way too many times, where is this protection in Tabor? It's paragraph 7C, and basically says the local government, which is the property tax agencies, because we don't pay state property tax in Colorado. We have local property tax authorities. 7C says that local taxing authority can't collect more than the increased they get to increase the revenue. Let me start again. Governments get to increase their revenue or keep that additional revenue up to an amount of inflation plus local growth. Local growth equals construction. That is a very good measurable rate, reasonable. It's reasonable for government. Actually, I would consider it generous. But we, the taxpayers, have that protection. So when so many local governments persuaded and really conned with deceptive ballot language in a large chunk of the cases, voters gave away their rights. And when that occurred and Gallagher went away, all of a sudden we're totally at the mercy of the state capitol. So with this special session, there's a nuance to this now, the special session that occurred a few weeks ago, whatever it is, time flies, that put or restored property tax caps back in place. So now, let's say we have Douglas County, which waived its property tax cap back in, I think, 1997. Now that's been reestablished. But only because Initiative 50 and 108 were on the ballot, proposed to be on the ballot, and were used as pressure points. The state legislature would have not reacted, Governor Polis would have not reacted, if it was not for those two measures. So now we've got these caps in place, and let's go to my Jeffco case where.
So let me just ask a question on that. So the caps from this legislation that were put in place, are those the same as what would be in Tabor?
They're not as good as Tabor.
Okay.
One, it's a fixed rate. So local governments now have a cap of 5.5%. 5.5% property tax revenue increase year over year. So just relate that to how many people's income goes up 5.5% per year, year over year.
Yeah.
Not the majority of the people out there get a 5.5% raise. Now, school districts also get a cap out of the legislative special session, 6% in their case, year over year. You asked, is this same as Tabor? Is it good, better, whatever? It's not as good because, one, it's got the fixed rate. Governments will complain and say, well, there's years where inflation, like we experienced just recently with hyperinflation, that inflation and this growth mechanism, Tabor generously gave governments over 8% growth. Now, that was a high year because we had such high inflation, but Tabor reacted to the economy. Brilliant, excellent, wonderful thing. Hard caps, like the one I described, don't have that flexibility. So in 1 year, Brenga, why should we be paying 5.5% if our economy doesn't match that? So it's too generous in one case. And here's the biggest flaw. with the Senate bill, the legislative session, I'm sorry, the property tax caps and the assessment changes, those local governments really don't see that much of a reduction in the big scope scene at high level. Because the state is backfilling that money through our state taxes. So that means, let's picture your pockets, out of your right pocket, paid less now, will in the future, for out of your property taxes out of your right pocket. But the state government then took more of your income tax out of your left pocket to cover the property tax bill. So those local governments are not being forced to tighten their belt like we need to. They're taking advantage of a high rate of property valuations, which we do like that, right? We just need the cap on the property taxes. I mean, we already take the hit on higher insurance when our property value goes up. So they nobody was totally thrilled with it came out of the special session. But here's the big thing. Don't anybody think that we're safe now. Because like in Jeffco's case where we got Jeffco 1A, which is a blank check, deceptively worded, if 1A in Jeffco or in Arapaho County, because they've got the same issue in Arapaho County, if those ballot issues pass, they wipe out not only the 7C Tabor property tax cap, they also wipe out the general Tabor overall revenue cap, and that's what generates Tabor refunds, so Tabor refunds would go away if these pass. But third, Jeffco and Arapaho will also be the first to wave out these brand new caps the special session created. It is a total bamboozle. And we will be right back to square one. I can't believe it. We'll be wearing the crown in Jeffco and 1A in Arapaho that we just totally gave away all the property tax caps that we've been arguing about over for three decades, whatever you want to say, years or decades. I'm sorry, I had to just get that out. It's unbelievable. And they get away with this deceptive language. This is not a tax increase, blah, blah, blah. Well, obviously you didn't pass simple math class here, government. It still means our taxes are going to jump way up.
Well, and two things. If government was going to reduce your taxes, they don't have to put a ballot question to ask you. And the other thing is, if it's a tax increase under Tabor, it has to be in all caps. So it's shouting out it's a tax increase. We've got just a few minutes left, Natalie. Let's talk just a little bit about RTD wanting to. They've had a Tabor a vacation, I guess you might say, but they want to take that vacation forever. So address that, please.
Sure. RTD, Regional Transportation District, most people don't recognize it as the third largest government in Colorado, has about $1.2 billion budget. Compare that, which RTD is buses and the trains. It's not your highways. That stuff is under Colorado Department of Transportation. So RTD's budget, $1.2 billion. CDOT, Colorado Department of Transportation, is $1.6 billion. RTD's taken in a tremendous amount of money. Where do people pay those taxes? What supports RTD? The average taxpayer in the district is paying just under $400 a year in sales tax that supports RTD because the bus fares, train fares, are right now only covering about 5% of the cost of that service. So the sales tax subsidizes it. RTD took out debt years ago. The deal was, we're going to be paying this debt for the TX project in Southeast Denver. When we finish paying the debt off, you will get your Tabor refunds back. Well, now they don't want to get the refunds back. They want to over-collect taxes beyond those formulas I described of inflation plus growth. RTD wants the purse strings opened up, cut off, and no limits, no cap. Now, property RTD, I fear a couple things. One, RTD could add on a property tax. It's already on a line on the property tax billing, but right now it's zero. RTD could go with that because RTD has continued to want to get into the property development scheme. I say scheme because it's a government operation. Secondly, there's been a bill run at the state legislature that's going on like twice now in recent years. Once was this last cycle. Governor Polis would like to eliminate elected positions on the Regional Transportation District.
Of course he would.
And replace them with appointees. And he pulled the bill and he said, they said it was, it's common knowledge, let's go that way. He pulled that bill because he knew they were having this taper question on the ballot. And so I suspect this issue is called 7A. I forget the name, but 7A will have a very decent chance of passing because they've got a deceptive ballot question again. And then if we don't defeat 7A and it does go through and the purse strings, you know, come off the blank check to RTD, they're going to have their usual mission creep, chase the shiny train, have financial problems, and Polis is going to turn around. He's going to turn it to an appointed board. So we just gave it away to, somebody who's not even elected.
They want to get their hands on that revenue stream. Natalie Minton, great information. You're running for Jefferson County Commissioner. Again, what is your website?
Yeah, two of them I want people to know. NatalieMenton.com is my county commissioner address. The one I was talking about with ballot issue 1A in Jeffco, the name of that website, KeepOurTaxCaps.com. Again, that's KeepOurTaxCaps, plural.com, because as I described, 1A gets rid of multiple protections and they do not disclose it sufficiently in the ballot question. And have hired political operatives to the tune of $300,000 of our taxpayer money to help get this thing passed. So we've got some real cronyism out here in Jeffco. I will not be part of that as an elected commissioner. So I appreciate people's support on whether it's helping me with door-to-door lit or financial contributions or there's a host of ways people can help. And I would love to have it because I've got a very good chance of getting the seat back for sound government, practical solutions, and a taxpayer guardian in that seat instead of somebody who wants to take away the right to vote on taxes entirely.
Great. And again, Natalie Minton, we'll talk again with you very soon. And thank you for all you do.
Thank you so much, Kim. I appreciate your work. Great. I don't express it enough.
Well, thank you. And just a note, and I should try to get her on. Our friend Kathleen Chandler from the Independence Institute is running for the RTD board. Again, RTD board. I just connected that dot. I saw her yesterday. We were on a panel together. And these are such important discussions. And I know each and every one of my sponsors personally. And if you are injured, you want to reach out to John Boson and Boson Law.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999. 9999.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at KimMunson.com.
Now that school's back in, Mom and Dad can enjoy some alone time, and that means heading to the range to fire off a few rounds. Franktown Firearms has the ammunition and inventory you need and at the lowest tax rate around. If there's something that you're looking for and Franktown doesn't have it, they can probably find it for you. With their 30-yard, 10-lane ventilated range, it is the perfect place to hone your shooting skills and spend some quality time. Qualified instructors from law enforcement and military backgrounds are available for training when you want to improve your skills. And ladies, don't miss Ladies' Night the first Friday of each month, where you can shoot with like-minded women and grow your skills together. So come down and see why Franktown Firearms is the place where friends are made and take advantage of their many specials. Find out more about Franktown by visiting the advertisers page on KLZradio.com today.
It's Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. My friends, I'm going to take a few days off next week, and we've been just going 1,000 miles an hour here. So really excited about Brad Beck will guest host the show on Monday. Susan Kochevar will guest host the show on Tuesday. Alan Thomas will guest host the show on Wednesday. And Yvonne Paez will guest host the show on Thursday. I'll be back on Friday. But we've got an amazing group of guests. You're not going to want to miss it. So want to say thank you, but wanted to let you all know that that's what's going to happen next week. We have Gammy on the line. Gammy, what is on your radar?
Well, good morning. And by the way, Natalie Menton should also be made a national treasure. I just want her to know that. She rocks it. Now, I've got three issues. Tina Peters, let's do that first. I watched the trial. I watched the sentence travesty of justice yesterday. I cried. Tears were running down my eyes. I was banging on the wall. This judge should be disbarred for the infractions against liberty and justice and any process of law. They have created judicial nullification deluxe. Even Dr. Clemens' movie, you know, Let My People Go, that showed you the frauds everywhere. And Matt Crane and all those guys, Rubenstein, they lied. These people were dishonest. And they run things. We're paying to demise ourselves. But Tina Peters is getting, I hope, the appeal she deserves. She is a hero. She is not what they called her. And I'm so angry. I'm going to be calling and writing letters. And Lauren Boebert promised to have her back. Well, Lauren Boebert, this is a public announcement. Get behind that poor woman. Tina Peters is a hero. And those people are criminals for what they did. Matt Crane's wife worked for Dominion. Now, that's all on that. Let's let it go. Okay. We know we're
going to we've got one more minute. One more minute, Gammy. Okay, one more minute.
That's good. We're good. Hey, I connected up with Kane. You're going to have fireworks, girl. Now, GAG tomorrow has the big 10 a.m. on the Capitol stairs with Aaron Lee, Stop the War on Kids, and tons of people will be there. Everybody should go, which brings me to the next and the third thing. We need to go to these functions to fight for the children. The parents have got to show up. You can't put it all on Rich Guggenheim and Aaron Lee and all those wonderful people who are speaking and fighting in sports. And number three, a big shout out to Pam Long, Sandy Marecki, and the Children's Health Defense Fund. Look it up. CHDF, that's Robert Kennedy Jr.'s organization. And tonight they're premiering Vax 3, Authorized to Kill. It's like $5 to watch it, people, to save your lives. The schools are giving our children shots. The pharma, the grocery stores are giving everybody shots.
Okay.
We And look, this is it. We have got to get to be bigger than the Gideon 300 numbers if the parents and the citizens don't start showing up at the schools and commissioners and saying, no more.
Okay, Gammy, thank you so much. She is such a wealth of information, and I appreciate it. And also, wanted to get Action Ann on. Action Ann, you had something that you wanted to announce as well.
Yes. It's pen and paper time. And if you didn't have it for Gammy, because Gammy's information is outstanding, we only have 3 days to wait before we have a special rare visit by Trevor Loudon, who has written his first book. He's written now 8 books, and it's a deep researched biography, essentially, of what Kamala Harris, and he'll be putting in Tim Walz's information too, on speaking on Monday night at the Westminster Public Library, which is, well, it's the College Hills Library at 112th and Lowell in Westminster, Colorado. So that will be from 5:30 until 7:30. So the following day, he'll be in the evening, he'll be in Loveland, and you'll be announcing that location, the church where he'll be in Loveland. But for those who are in the near metropolitan Denver area, we ask that you, make it to the College Hills Public Library, second floor, room 211, between the 5:30 and 7:30 period. His website is Trevor Loudon, and I'm going to spell that out. T as in Tom, R, E, V as in Victor, O, R, loud like I'm speaking, L-O-U-D, O-N as in Nancy.com. He has a secondary website, which is keywiki.org, keywiki.org. So because he's rarely here, I urge people to get there on Monday, October 7, at 5:30 p.m.
Okay, and then also he will be speaking on Thursday at Perspectives 101, and you can get information, and we'll have Yvonne on next week, but I think it's perspectives.info, perspectives101.info at gmail.com, I think. Hold on, let me just check that really quickly so that I get that right. It is, yes, perspectives101.info at gmail.com for the one next Thursday night. And, of course, then there's one on Monday night. Our quote for the end of this show is from Laozi. And he says, from caring comes courage. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
And opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.